We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks postgame podcast. The Hawks beat the San Jose Sharks 5-4 in overtime. If you went to bed, probably still the right move. It was 4-0 at one
point. No. What? You have to bask in the glory of this win.
Yes, it's a big one. It's a big one. I'm Jay Zawoski with Greg Boyson and Mario Tirabassi. Thanks for being with us. I see we got a lot of people in here with us late night, and we appreciate that. Wins are always more fun. So let's all celebrate this one together by smashing the like button and the subscribe button. We would appreciate that. And if you're listening on Sunday morning, well, everybody is technically, later Sunday morning, make sure you like and subscribe on your favorite podcast app and leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And look, fellas, this ended well. 5-4, obviously the Hawks get goals from Donato, Johnson, Jones, Kurashev, and then Jones again. In overtime, Kurashev tying it with 47 seconds to go in the empty net. Interesting, too, the Hawks also scored on two delayed penalties. And this is the biggest comeback.
Yeah,
the
Hawks 3-6 have had. On 5 goals.
Yeah, this is the biggest comeback the Hawks have had since that comeback game against the Calgary Flames in 2009 that sort of kicked off the dynasty. Brent Seabrook in overtime, and the Hawks went on to win the Stanley Cup that year. So Hawks will win the Cup this year. Confirmed.
Yeah, well, next. I mean, it was. It was a defenseman scoring in overtime again, too. So, you know, same thing.
Yeah. Be ready. I mean, look, if history repeats itself, you know, it's definitely the catalyst to the 2025 Cup run. It's coming, guys. Just wait. Just you wait.
Well, joking aside, the first 20, 30 minutes of this game were absolutely embarrassing. And
dog shit.
And horrible. While they get away with it because the Sharks are just that bad and the Hawks have that much better of a roster, which is kind of crazy to believe, the start of this game after what they did in Anaheim, inexcusable. Like, I know we're going to get to the fun stuff, but that's a problem. You cannot come out flat, and then you get your ass kicked in the first period. You're down 2-0, and then you're like, all right, bad period, but let's start it back. 16 seconds into the third, they score again, or second, they score again. Then 1:24 into the second, they score again. So it takes you the better part of 25 minutes to pull your head from your collective rectums and start playing this game. And it's something we have seen too often this season. Last year, we virtually never saw it. This year, we're seeing it weekly, multi-times a week. It's not good. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. Go ahead, Mario.
It absolutely is. If they had not scored these 5 goals tonight, man, I would be accusing this team up and down of packing it in with less than a dozen games left to play this season. But I'm glad they scored the 5 goals, so I don't feel as fired up about that. But yeah, horrible first 25 minutes of this game against, you know, it's another battle of the worst two teams in the league. But shit, you got to show way more fire than that, way more jump. You cannot take any games off. I don't care if it's game 71 or if it's game 7 of the season. Like, you have to be ready to play. Like, these are professional hockey players. You have to be ready to go. And it was real bad. And if, you know, again, if you are listening in the normal hours of Sunday and you turn this game off when it was after the first period or after the first 5 minutes of the second period, do not blame me whatsoever. If we didn't have to do this post game, I would have been well asleep by that time. So yeah, it's really bad. It's really concerning. And this team, more than last year's team, has a really bad time starting games in a good way. I hope it's a personnel thing. I hope it's something that can be mitigated next season when maybe a couple more guys on this roster matter for the future than guys this year. But that was a tough start. I'm glad they had the comeback in them, but that was a really bad start.
Yeah, I mean, we could say it's concerning. It's not concerning 70 something games in the season. It's who this team is. It's who they've been all season long. That's why it's like, it's frustrating to see, because you're in the NHL and you should be ready to play regardless of what your record is. You know, you got young guys that are making their development, they're making their progressions. You've got veteran guys that, you know, hey, it's a privilege to play in the NHL. Like, very few people ever have had the chance to do it. So you should be ready to play every game, but for whatever reason, this team just doesn't. It's been who they are all season. It's part of their DNA. You know, last season that really wasn't an issue. This year, it is. It is what it is. It's who this team is. So, like, while that was going on, it was like, yeah, I could get mad, but why would I get mad? Because this is the 48th time this has already happened this season, and it's not going to change at this point with 12 games to go.
Yeah, and look, I don't want to start a whole, like, is Luke Richardson the guy thing, but what this team's made up of, you would not expect that to be the situation night after night after night. From the coaching staff to the players on the roster, again, we've done this before, go man by man. Who are the guys in this team that are soft and that don't engage? It's a collective thing as a group. And they're not ready to go. And look, part of it is talent, that's for sure. But, and look, the game they won the other day against San Jose, they were down 2-0 to start that one too, and they won 7-2. So they figure it out. But I think saying it is who they is it's accurate. That is who they are. But to me, that's a concern that's who they are. That bothers me.
Well, I mean, it's some of it is talent level. Some of it is a lot of youth on this team, inexperience, you know, guys that, hey, we won a game, we could just coast next game because we're good all of a sudden, and it just doesn't work that way. There's a lot of factors that go in it. Some of it could be pointed on the coaching, but, you know, it's just, I don't know. There's probably 10 different factors to why this is a problem. You can't just say, hey, it's this guy's fault or it's this strategy's fault. You know, the Shawnee says in the comments, Richardson's not the guy. He tries to force everyone to play like a fourth line grinder. What if your whole roster is fourth line grinders? That's what the whole fucking roster is, except for Connor Bedard. Like, what do you want him to do? That's what it's been for 2 years. Here, play like exactly the player you are. Like, when this team has more talent, more dynamic players, you know, I want to see things change. I have faith that it will change. And, like, I don't know what kind of systems Richardson can do except play the simplest way to play hockey, because, you know, it's not a great team, you know. So when this team has more experience, when this team has better players, and if we're still seeing these same things, then okay. Then you could start pointing the fingers at the coaching room. But, you know, right now, it's a bad roster. It's an inexperienced roster. It's an inexperienced coaching staff that may not have figured out how to, what buttons to push just yet. Everybody's growing together. And right now, this is the time where you need to experience these things and go through these things and figure out how to overcome these things. So when there are expectations, when you do have a better team, you don't have these problems.
Yeah. And look, I think we fall into this trap of being sports fans where it's like, oh, I like Richardson. Oh, this team's bad. Fire him. No one is saying to fire him. I'm seeing some comments like that in the chat. No one is saying that. Just like developing players, you need to keep your eye on trends of developing coaches. And if you see something that is a problem over and over again, you've got to call it out and you've got to keep an eye on it. Lucas Reichel showed us a problem night after night after night until he was finally sent to Rockford, until they had to do something about it. Look, they came back and won this game, and we should scrap the first period, and we will in a few minutes, but they don't win themselves out of a difficult conversation about going out and getting embarrassed to the worst team in hockey for 30 minutes. Like, that's, I'm sorry, I'm not just ready to excuse that because the puck bounced their way with the empty net. I just, you know what I mean? It just can't be that simple. It can't be.
But you look at the, in-game adjustments.
And a funeral every loss.
Right. But look at the in-game adjustments. The people that want to just say, oh, Luke Richardson, bad starts. Luke Richardson's the problem. Look at the in-game adjustments he made. He put Donato and Radish and Johnson on the line. All of a sudden, things, that line got the comeback going. He switched up lines. He put Kurashev, Athanasiu, and Reichel back together, and that looked pretty good. So he said, all right, game plan's not working. Let's see what we can do on the fly here, and it paid off. So you can be upset with him for the slow start, which is completely valid. But then you also have to say, yeah, but you know what? He made some changes that got this team to pull their head out of their ass.
I find it hard to believe that Luke Richardson can't get a team motivated. I just think that he, from what we've seen of him, even as an inexperienced head coach, I find it hard to believe that he can't get a room or doesn't have the ability to get a room going. Once he's done that, I think it is on the players to go out and execute. You know, he's not playing anymore. So I think there is something to be said for the talent that is on this team. Sure. and the guys that are tasked with being, you know, the go-to guys, and when things aren't going good, they need to be the ones to pull them out of it. And yeah, like it was a horrible start, but they turned it around. This is a game that at this point in the season with this roster, very easy for them to be like, shit, we're down 4-0. F this. Like, I just want to go home. Like, they could have easily just packed it in and it could have gotten worse than 4-0 against the Sharks team. But, you know, they were able to turn around incrementally. 1 became 2, became 3, became tie game, became overtime winner. Like, I think at this point in the season, we know who this team is. We know who this, we've had this coaching staff for 2 seasons now. I think we know who they are. To see the comeback effort and the ability to not pack it in and come back and continue to fight and continue to scratch and claw and come back 1 goal at a time. I'm more happy about that than I am upset about the first 25 minutes of the game. I am more in the boat of that was a great job not giving up, not looking for the exit door, and being able to play the right way to get yourself back in that game than I am you guys dug yourself a 4-0 hole, which they did.
Yeah.
But they found the shovel and they found the ladder and they got out of it.
Yeah. Well, let's focus on the positive now. We're going to move on from the negative and we're going to tell you who to vote for the 4th star of the game. The 3 stars of the game, you had Seth Jones with a pair of goals. He played pretty well. Fabian Zetterlund, same deal, 2 goals for him. And Ryan Donato, who is really the catalyst for this comeback, that guy plays his ass off. And you want to talk about, like, guys who are playing above their God-given talents? that's Ryan Donato. And that's the sort of leadership. Like, everyone talks about Foligno and everybody talks about Dickinson because they're older guys and are experienced and they talk to the media a lot. Don't make no mistake, Ryan Donato is a huge part of this team's leadership just by the way he plays on the ice. So here are your nominees for the four-star of the game. You got Taylor Radish, who has 2 points in this one. Second time all season, he had 2 points, 2 assists, plus two, 15-21 of ice time. He had a shot on goal, a missed shot, and a hit. Your second nominee for four-star of the game is Tyler Johnson, who had a goal, an assist. He was plus two, 17-39 of ice time, 3 shots on goal, 2 missed shots, and a block shot for him. And your third nominee is Philip Kurashev. I have a feeling it might be him. 1 goal, 1 assist, plus two, 18-25, 4 shots on goal, and 3 more shot attempts. So a really solid game for Philip Kurashev, you know, tying the game with 47 seconds to go. And you know, once that line got together for maybe the first time all season, right? Athanasiou, Reichel, and Kurashev, mm-hmm. after how good it was last year, maybe those guys had some fun. We're like, hell yeah, here we go. This worked last time.
Yeah, because they didn't start the season together, right? Because
Kurashev was hurt.
Kurashev was hurt to start the year.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, hey, it worked late in the game. Good on Luke for getting those guys together. We saw, you know, with the lines shuffling up, we also saw Bedard play with Foligno and Dickinson. I'd be interested to see that again. Last couple of games here, give that a try. But yeah. Loved seeing Reichel with Athanasiou and Kurashev again. Helped lead to the game tying goal. And I know a lot of people in here are interested and talking in the chat about Lucas Reichel's game tonight. Just short of the fourth star nominee, but if we expanded it to 4 selections, he would have probably been on it because his game tonight, away from the puck, was really good. Like he had a really good game. Being able to be engaged, be aggressive on forechecking, on backchecking. He had at least 2 times where he, you know, stripped the guy of a puck and made something of nothing, which is great to see, which is something that we want to continue seeing. Hopefully it eventually translates to offensive chances coming from that, but good to see that he's continuing the engagement in games and, you know, continuing to not just say like, oh, okay, it's the end of the season. Like he's making the most of this, like sent down to Rockford, now back in Chicago. He's making the most of it in these handful of games that he's been back.
Well, let's get to him next, but we got to take our first break of the show and grateful for a Hawks win and grateful that I had more than a couple cans of Coors Light during this game, because if I was going to stay up for a post game show, I know I needed to be a little bit less fired up than I was, especially early in this game. So whether it's your team stressing you out or life in general, things can feel chaotic. Crack open a nice cold Coors Light. It is the beer I go to and we go to here at CHGO Blackhawks when it is time to chill. When those mountains turn blue, you know what that means. Your Coors Light is as cold as the Rockies. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. When it's time to chill, open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, not the baseball team. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer we reach for. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart right now. I don't know. Give it a shot. CoorsLight.com/CHGOHockey. Just order 1 can of Coors Light. I want to see if it works. CoorsLight.com/CHGOHockey. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
If you're getting someone to deliver an individual can of Coors Light, you better tip them well.
We'll be a tall boy at least.
That's all I got to say.
No, one of those shorties. One of those hanger nets.
Little 7 ounce, little almost 7 ounce beer. Rib. hey, you know, if you're throwing back the Coors Lights, what you got to offset it with is some really good food. And just as easy as ordering Coors Light to your door, it is just as easy to eat right with Factor meal kits. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready to eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. And you have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including calorie smart options, protein plus options, keto options, and many more. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons that help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. 2-minute meals fueled up fast with Factor's restaurant quality meals that are ready to heat and eat. They got pancakes, smoothies, so much more. You can discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day. Breakfast, midday bites, late night snacks, everything in between. No press, no prep, no mess. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, no cooking, or cleanup needed. Just stuff your face with the best food possible and think about it later. Head to factormeals.com/CHGOHawks50 and use the code CHGOHawks50 and you're going to get 50% off. That is CHGOHawks50 at factormeals.com/blackhawks and the code is CHGOHawks50. That'll get you 50% off. So CHGOHawks50 is the code at factormeals.com/blackhawks. You're gonna get 50% off. Was that clear?
Yes.
Clear as mud.
Wonderful.
Here's a tweet from Ben Pope from after the game. He's one of the three people in San Jose. It says Ryan Donato said Luke Richardson gave a rant that was, quote, a little scary after an awful start. Quote, Luke is a very kind guy. When he needs to be, he can definitely get us going in the right direction. I mean, anyone that's old enough, like me and Greg, did you ever see Luke play, Mario? Do you remember Luke as a player?
Not specifically, but I would have watching the NHL when he was still playing, yes.
Yeah, he was a mean SOB. Like, we talked about in the pregame, like those guys who can just flip that switch when the game starts. Like, Foligno is a great example. The nicest guy in the world. And then the game starts, and those eyes start bugging out, and he wants to kill everybody, and you're like, all right. 60 minutes of intensity, maybe a little more, and then he can turn it off.
Yeah.
Richardson was very similar. So, good to see. I mean, we don't think he's gone to that well very often this year, because I think when you start doing it all the time, it loses effectiveness, but apparently happened today. So, if we get the Luke Richardson press conference sent to us by the end of the show, we'll fire it up and see what he had to say. I keep checking my email. I haven't seen it yet, but we'll get there. But we left off before the break talking about Lucas Reichel, and Mario, you said it, like two, at least two that I saw, hustle, back check, stick lift, take the puck away and go the other way. And he's starting to get, you're starting to see him find those areas of the ice where the puck's going to find him. Late in the game, he set himself up for that one timer and just missed the net, right? But he's, you see him giving the puck and then he goes and find, you see Bedard do it all the time. He'll give the puck to somebody and he's going to go find the area of the ice where he can set himself up for a nice one-timer or a quick shot. And that's the stuff we wanted to see from Reichel all year. There was too much, I'm peeling away, I'm just dumping it in, I have no attack to my game at all. He's been good since the call-up, struggled against LA, joined the effing club, everybody did. But is this his fourth game back? I'd say three of the four were solid from him. And that's
Fourth?
I think it's fourth.
It's fourth, yeah. Because this is the third game on the road trip.
Yeah, so three of four. If that's a trend for next year and then gets better and better as he gets older, great. Cause those, like you said, Mario, he needs to start getting the points, but they're going to come. If he plays like he played tonight, those points are going to come.
Yeah. And I think that that's gotta be the overarching message to him is that, you know, you do the small things right. And then everything else builds from there. And I think, you know, the reason that he ended up getting sent down was that I think he was trying to maybe try and do too many things right every time. And then he lost the confidence in his game. And then we saw, like you said, like just peeling away, like not trying to attack the net or anything like that. And being invisible too many nights. So if this is a game that, you know, you go back and you watch the tape with the coaching staff and you have a lot of like good clips to watch where they can pinpoint those small things that he did right. And, you know, the plays that he ended up setting up because of those small things, like that's really good to take away. And that's just another like building block of like, all right, if I can do those things, and have it come a little bit more easier to me as the rest of the season goes on and move into next season, then the bigger things, the bigger rewards are going to be coming behind it. So I hope that's the takeaway from him. Even if the points aren't piling up yet, like, you keep doing that, like, you're going to be just fine.
Yep. There's seen a lot to like from him tonight. Probably his best game of the four since he's been back. And it's encouraging. You didn't want him to come back up. I know he doesn't have, he doesn't have a goal yet. He hasn't been shooting a lot, but, you know, you're seeing that, you know, his biggest enemy this season has been between his own ears for most of the years. And you're seeing that doesn't seem to be that big of an issue right now. And that's what you want. You want to see him playing with confidence, because if he keeps playing with confidence, the points are going to come. But when you don't play with confidence, you rarely ever find yourself in the right position to score goals, to get assists. You're yourself up. You're in your own head. And that's just not how you're going to get out of the rut. So definitely encouraging from Reichel. And there's like no doubt that he'll be on that line with Kurashev and Athanasiou when we see them at the United Center Tuesday against the Flames. Those lines are going to stay the same. You're not going to go back to what you started with. You're going to keep the lines that helped you score the last five goals of the game.
Speaking of leadership, we got another quote rolling in here. This is Seth Jones again via Ben Pope. Seth Jones says, quote, "We hated our first period right from the get-go. I didn't come ready to play tonight, and I take responsibility for that. I set the tone, and we didn't get off to a good start, so that was on me. We all banded together. A lot of times this year, we've kind of separated and tried to do it ourselves a lot of the time. Tonight, we really hunkered down, and we did it together, so that was awesome to see." That's a veteran pointing the thumb, you know?
Hey, that goes a long way. Yeah, and I mean, that's good to see. I mean, it's, again, you hate that they had to come back from a 4-0 deficit, but they did it, you know?
Yeah.
They recognized that they were playing horribly and it wasn't acceptable to them. So Richardson had to do what he had to do to go more than just stern dad, but angry dad. And angry dad can be very motivating sometimes. And from a guy like Seth Jones too, like from that leadership group, a guy who's going to drive a lot of what this team does on and off the ice. Good on him to, you know, take up that initiative and help try and set this team right.
Got a couple super chats we want to get to as well. And again, thank you everybody for being with us late night, almost 1 a.m. Braggs, do we know how many people we have in the broadcast right now? I can't see it from StreamYard.
Yeah, we got over 250 people here watching live at almost 1 a.m. Central Time. That is the purest definition of diehards that you will find.
Yeah.
So shout out to you guys. And McLovin is in the chat for a $5 super chat. We appreciate you. Kaiser, on a roll. He needs to stay up. Like, just staying up late. Reichel, rocking it. Looked uber confident and made great plays. Luke, looking good with these new lines.
Oh, yeah. I can't question any of those. That penalty on Kaiser was tough. He's trying to make a play.
Yeah.
To stick. I mean, that, you know, that wasn't any sort of laziness or anything like that. I was just trying to make a play, and it didn't work out, which is why he was right back out there as soon as his penalty ended. He was out on the ice late in the game. He's looked good. We talk about, you know, Korchinski adding size and strength and Bedard adding size and strength. Kaiser's going to do that too. And, you know, these guys are young dudes with a lot of growth to come. And I just like his, I've said it before, he plays with the swag. I like his swag. I like Kaiser's swag. He knows he's good at hockey and he's not afraid to show you. So, and he's been a lot more, I think Darren Pang used the term dusting off the puck today. He's been better at not doing that. He gets the puck and he gets rid of it. He makes a safe play, makes a good pass.
Yeah, he seems, this time around, he seems a lot calmer, doesn't feel the pressure as much, is making smarter plays. He was very impressive. Him and Zaitsev were really good tonight. They were both
goal with a block shot.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the game scores, as flawed of a system as that is, They were the top Hawks defensive pairing, all you needed to do was watch the game. You don't need fancy blue lines to tell me that those guys were the best defensive pairing, because they were. They were very smart. Jay, you've made that analogy a lot of times about young players, especially defensemen. You use it for Kaiser about the duck analogy, where above the water, the duck just seems to be chilling and nice and easy, but below, his feet are going crazy.
Right.
We're not seeing that from Kaiser right now, and we did a lot early in the year. So that time in Rockford really helped him. He's come up here with, you know, just a calmness, and they, you know, he's got guys bearing down on him, and he just waits that extra beat, gets the puck out way, makes the smart, correct play. That's what you want to see out of those guys. You know, a lot of times, you know, you get a guy bearing down on you, you just panic and you get rid of the puck, and then 3 seconds later, you're fishing it out of the back of your own net.
Yeah, we got to take another break, but we have a $10 super chat here from Edward First. Says, the first 25 minutes were the worst Blackhawks team I've ever experienced in my lifetime. I mean, it's up there. That's for sure. Considering the opponent and how they were playing, it's certainly on the Mount Rushmore of bad Hawks periods. That's for damn sure. And before we hit the break, we want to do a like spike. We haven't done one in a while. We got a lot of people watching. Maybe they haven't spiked that like button. So 3, 2, 1, spike that like button for us. We'd appreciate that. Get that number way, way up there. Way,
I'm going to like the video.
I'm thinking a slap shot now. See, you got that pelvis. We're not doing After Dark again. I had to control myself.
No.
Anyway, your floors look terrible. You need new floors.
Get us in trouble.
And with Empire today, you get shop at home convenience, the right product for your needs, quick and professional installation, and a low price guarantee. And look, a nice clean floor. You can do those pelvic thrusts and not feel bad about a dirty floor. See? Tying it all together. Empire today is the best place to get new flooring. So, of course, they have copycats, but you know, Empire can't be beaten on quality, service, or speed. It's going to be high-quality stuff from Empire. You're not going to get any junk as your new floor. And if you're not sure, it's a big investment, even from Empire. It's a big investment. This is something you do every, 10, 15 years to get new floors? Use their virtual floor designer. It's a great way to see how new floors are going to look in your space. It's easy to snap a pic and instantly see how those new floors will look in your room. Empire services their own warranties, so if an issue does arise, just give them a call. They service all warranties themselves. You won't have to track down a manufacturer's phone number, and you know the Empire number, 588-2300, baby. Schedule a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can receive $350 off when they use the promo code CHGO. Restrictions apply. See empiretoday.com/CHGO for details.
Yeah, are you in the market for a new vehicle? If you are, then we've got great news for you. Our partner, Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Fox Lake, is celebrating the Jeep Celebration event all month long. And you know what that means? You'll be able to rave about their savings on a wide selection of inventory for a limited time. Lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo Altitude for $439 a month for just 39 months. If that Grand Cherokee isn't big enough for you, check out the third row and lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited L. That's a big W, not an L, for $479 a month for just 39 months at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. You'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest inventories and drive home with more money in your pocket than you expect, thanks to the Ray Price Promise. Don't miss out. Shop great deals all month long and save big, because Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram makes buying a new vehicle more affordable than ever. But that's not all. Just for listening, you're going to get a free oil change when you mention CHGO at the service center, or mention CHGO when you book online at raycdjr/service. But you have to schedule before April 1st, so time is running out. So if you're in the market for a new vehicle, then you have to check out the team at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and
Ram,
because they are the only team we recommend. Visit them today on Route 12 in Fox Lake, or for more information, go to raycdjr.com. Serving the community since 1963.
Oh, almost nice. Note here from our buddy Tab Bamford. You should be following him at The One Tab. Writes for the Blackhawks for Bleacher Nation. Seth Jones at the end of February, 1 goal in 45 games. Seth Jones in March, 5 goals in 11 games.
It's pretty nice. Good.
Hey, this last year too.
Yeah, he's just holding back to the end of the year.
That's crazy. And that, Mario, I see you shared a note too on the Slack.
Yes. Yes, I shared a note. This is from the NHL PR department. The Blackhawks are the third team this year to post a four-goal comeback win in the 2023-24 season. The other two teams to do so, the Coyotes and Sharks.
That's crazy.
So they're telling me a lot of lottery.
Three lottery teams are the only three to have posted a four-goal comeback win this year.
You're telling me the teams NHL. Take their foot off the gas playing against those three,
or you're bottom feeders. To be down four that early in a game that you have time to come back.
That's part of it too. Both of those things are true. Yes, both of those are true.
Little bit of both.
Greg's wearing green, so it reminded me. Can we talk about Landon Slaggard a little bit? Boy, I thought he was going to score on that. He has been
playing great.
He's a dude, and I don't know to what level he's going to be. I would firmly plant my flag in bottom six, but when he's maxed out, a very solid bottom six forward on pretty much any NHL team. He just has a good understanding of the game. Seems to have a knack for where to be. He's strong on his stick, strong off the puck. He's got a little more speed that I think he surprised. I forget who the San Jose defender was when he drove past him and got that nice shot on goal. I think that speed snuck up on them a little bit. So I really like his game. We were talking about a couple games ago, he looked a little chaotic. Like the game was moving in his brain really fast, kind of the duck analogy again. But today, things seemed really sort of slowed down, and you saw him, you know, holding the puck for longer amounts of time. Even if it's 3 or 4 seconds versus I have it, I have to get rid of it. That little difference that he makes by holding it for a few seconds, waiting for that lane to open up, waiting for the trailer to come, he's got a knack now, and I think the game is starting to slow down for him mentally and probably actual speed-wise. And he's learning that he can keep up with these dudes. And I've really been impressed with his game.
Yeah, he's definitely been very noticeable, even playing, you know, fourth line, third line minutes and opportunities, like really noticeable. And I think it's, you know, one of the things that has always been out is his motor. And I know that that's, you know, a buzzword in hockey, but like he tonight was a prime example of it. Like you're getting into the third period, late in the third period, and he is just hounding guys constantly when he's on the ice. Like it is an energy level that you love to see out of a guy who's 21 years old, making his first few games in the NHL. Love to see that be the case again when next season starts, when he's, you know, really fighting for a roster spot and fighting to, you know, prove like, hey, like I'm, you know, I know I'm the new shiny toy now, but like I'm here to stay. Like I'd love to see that fire continue into next season. And I mean, if he keeps playing the way he has the last, his first couple of games in the league, if he can build upon that and this be his foundation, like he's going to have himself a really good career. Cause that kind of tenacity and energy and speed in his game can get you places.
Yeah, you know what? I envision him next year when he's got, you know, a training camp under him and a little more coaching and a little more NHL experience. I could see Landon Slager leading the NHL in shorthanded goals. I see just tenacious penalty killer in his future. With that speed, he could jump on a play and get down the ice. I could see that happening as quickly as next year, just being one of those, like, guys just have a knack. You know, puts up 3, 4, 5 shorthanded goals in a season just because he's got the smarts and he's got that speed that you know, you catch the defenseman at the point flat-footed just for 1 second, you're gone. And we'll see what happens. But I like what I've seen out of him. You know, he's an easy kid to cheer for. The three of us have had the opportunity to speak to him many times, just as gracious and humble as they come. And he's another one of those guys where you're like, you talk to him and you're like, how do you play professional hockey? You're too nice. And then you see him out there and he's mixing it up and he's giving out hits and he's taking hits, but jumping right back up. And you're kind of like, how are you that same nice smiley guy? You know, he reminds me a little bit of Jack Drury, who I covered a couple seasons with the Chicago Wolves, now with the Carolina Hurricanes. He's that same type of soft-spoken, really nice guy, but he'll rip your head off if he has an opportunity when the game's on.
That's a nice comparison. We got a couple of people in the chat talking about, is he Dave Boland? Is he Sam Lafferty? I think he's more skilled than Lafferty, not as skilled as Boland. But I like that the speed that Lafferty had is comparable. Lafferty maybe has got to step on him a little bit. But remember, Dave Boland put up astronomical numbers in junior. Like, it was, they're hilarious. Like, 120, 130 point seasons. And you wonder, I'm sure he wonders too, I'm sure he's happy with his three cups, don't get me wrong, but had he been on a team like this year's Blackhawks, maybe he's got two cups, whatever. He can, you know, maybe he would have been a guy who could be a Philip Kurashev level producer, right? Like a 50 point per year guy.
Yeah.
With more opportunity.
I think Boley realized the only way he was going to get regular playing minutes on that team, as talented as was to become that rat of a player.
Rat.
Some guys have to make that conscious decision early in their career where he's like, yeah, I scored 150 points in London, but oh wait, there's Jonathan Toews, there's Patrick Kane, there's Patrick Sharp, there's Marian Hossa. Yeah, I probably should learn how to get under people's skin because that's where I'm going to be more effective. And he did an amazing job at it.
Yeah, his highest output points wise in the NHL, 47 points in his second full season with the Hawks, 19 goals, 28 assists. Then he did 37 back to back in a row, 2010 and 2011. 2011, 2012. He had 37 back-to-back. Then, you know, obviously injuries caught up with him and concussions caught up with him. And then when he left Chicago, wasn't quite the same guy. But, 130 points his last year in London. 130 points in 59 games. And he was also in the box for 104 penalty minutes. So think of what he could have done if he was he's on the ice a little more.
Let's give him his proper credit. He is Arizona Coyotes legend, Dave Boland.
That's right. That's right. And he forever true. Will be.
Yeah, I mean, Slager, like, I know a lot of people say he looks like Brandon Hagel visually,
yeah,
which he does. It's true. But he kind of plays like that early version that we saw of Brandon Hagel, where it was a lot of, like, high energy, high motor, relentless play. And then that eventually developed into, you know, the guy that that we saw in his last year in Chicago. And I'm not going to say that Leonard Slager's going to be the Brandon Hagel that is playing in Tampa Bay right now, but that's kind of the most recent example of a guy that I could see Slager kind of like having that similar game of where it is, you know, high intensity, always hounding the puck, always on the forecheck, being able to play around the net. I think that's one of the things that this team has lacked this season is the play around the net, and Slager is a guy who's not afraid to do it, and that was a big focal point of his senior year at Notre Dame. Translated into 20 goals, which a lot of them were, you know, tip shots, rebound shots, second efforts. And if you can make that translate to the NHL, you're going to have a pretty good career. So I would love to see that happen for him. But yeah, I mean, it's a good first few games. He's got 11 more to close it out. Hopefully it's a good showing going into next training camp, and he can build off of it. And then he's another guy that's like, yeah, like, you know, he plays hard, he plays fast, he can go to the net, but he's also not like the biggest guy. You know, I'd love to see if there's anything that being in an NHL weight training program compared to a college one might put a little extra beef on the bones of Slager.
I'm looking here at Brandon Hagel, and it's kind of funny. It's kind of a Boland parallel. 2018-19, his last year with the Red Deer Rebels of the Western Hockey League, 102 points in 66 games, 80 penalty minutes, and plays his first full year with the Hawks, 2020-21, 24 points in 52, not a full year, but you know what I mean, 24 points in 52 games, then 37 in 55. That's the year he's traded, so he ends with 44 in 77, which is great, right? You like that? And then it's 64 and 81, and so far this year, 63 and 70. So he's approaching point-per-game level, which I don't know if – even the biggest Brandon Hagel fan in the world, I don't think they saw that coming from him. That was a surprise to me. I think it was a surprise to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But the he's
no, I
he's,
didn't.
He's on – he's on a very talented team that you know knows how he plays for the best coach in the league who knows how to use him correctly. All those things factor. But when you talk about guys like Landon Slaggart and some of these other guys coming up, you need guys like that to win Stanley Cups. You need those middle six, bottom six guys that do the dirty work, to go out there and wear down other teams. And the Hawks have some guys like that. You know, Slaggart's a guy like that. You think of a guy like Jay's favorite player, Sammy Savoie. You know, he's going to go out there and just beat people down, wear them down. Those are the types of guys. You need those guys.
Yep.
Those effort guys. And I think both of those guys will probably surprise you a little bit on some offensive production too. So if you can get a line that can take the other opponent's top line and just wear them down over a seven game series and then score a goal, a big goal every once in a while. That's what made those Hawks teams so good, is they had those lines. They had the superstars, but they had those other lines that could do the dirty work. Oh, and score a game winning goal if they had to.
Yeah, that's always helpful. I'm trying to remember. Oh, Hockey Reference is crushed on me. That's not good. The fourth line on the 2015 Hawks, we'd say it would be Kruger. Who else would we say? Would we throw Bickle in there and Stahlberg? Would that kind of be our...
Kruger, Bickle was in and out towards that end of that season. Desjardins was there. Shaw was kind of there. Right?
I don't think
Stahlberg...
Yeah, I might have said 15. I'm looking at 13.
Okay,
So I think it's...
Yeah, Stahlberg was gone already.
Yeah, I think it's...
Yes.
I'm just trying to crunch numbers here. So Kruger had 13 points. We'll just give it to Andrew Shaw for the hell of it. He had 15 points. And Bickle had 23. So that's 8, 9, 10, 11. That's 61 points from your fourth line. That's doable. Of course, that's in the 48-game season, for the record.
Sure, the shortened season,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think if you look at our chat, it's become a rebuild report chat. But there's a lot of young guys here already in the prospect system that kind of peg into those spots of like, here's a really good third line energy guy. Here's a really good third line scorer. Here's a really good fourth line pest, you know, penalty killer. Here's a really good third line guy that could probably play power play minutes. Like, they have a lot of those guys already in the system. Guys like Savoie, Ludwinski, Slaggart, Colton Dock, everything like that. So then you look at some of these top guys that are in the system with, you know, Bedard already here, Frank Nazar likely joining the fold rather soon, Oliver Moore, like even just within the drafted guys, this isn't talking about free agents they could sign, guys they could bring in from trades, guys that they have yet to draft, anything like that. Just from the guys that they have already in the system, like the forwards group, like there's a lot of those pieces that you can look at and say, this could be a complete lineup, which is really like, I think really impressive from what Kyle Davidson's been able to kind of do and mold over two draft years and where this pipeline is at right now. So there's a lot of optimism, and that's also factoring in a young Philip Kurashev, who's 24 years old. Like, he's also part of that equation as well. So there's some guys here already. There's some guys coming, you know, in the next 2-3 years that are gonna, you know, realize their NHL capabilities, and then there's, you know, the opportunity to draft a few guys this year too. So there's a really good core getting formed, and we're starting to see, you know, with Kurashev this year, Bedard having an amazing rookie year, living up to all the expectations, and now you have Slaggart, you know, getting a good taste of it at the end of this year. Like, it's a really good, you know, kind of like opening act of like things are building.
Yeah, for sure. Mario, you got 60 seconds to tell us about your night on Prize Picks.
It was horrible. Terrible night on Prize Picks. I had Peter Mrazek in two separate selections with Prize Picks to go more than 26 and a half saves. He made 26 saves on the dot. So that cost me some coins. And then our guy, Io DeSumo, with the Bulls, I had him going with two Illini players for more thans. Io needed more than 14 and a half points, 14 on the dot. That also cost me some coins. So a little salty over here on the Prize Picks. But hey, that's the name of the game. Prize Picks, they are the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They're the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports because it's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling against thousands of other players, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and you just watch the winnings roll in or watch your money roll out like I did. It's tournament time, which means it's the time for the best action on Prize Picks and in the men's and women's college basketball tournaments. I think by the time I'm reading this, we should know all the Sweet 16 teams. So in the men's tournament, at least. So get yourself some sweet picks on Prize Picks as we move into the Sweet 16. And now you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks. Again, America's number one fantasy sports apps. So go to prizepicks.com/CHGO. Use the code CHGO, and you're going to get a first deposit match of up to $100. Again, that's prizepicks.com/CHGO, and the code is CHGO. Real simple this time. Pick more, pick less. It is just that easy.
Do it.
I love me some Prize Picks. I turned $5 into $230 last night on Prize Picks, my favorite of all the apps.
I cashed my
must be nice.
$100 out because Caitlin Clark scored a point. I love that promotion they threw in.
That's what put me over the. That's what put me over the top. I had to wait. I had to wait an extra day to get that official.
I was really sweating that one.
I know. I actually turned on the Iowa game and I was like, all right, there it is. All right, cool.
Yeah, I saw a tweet that said, "Not the start Caitlin Clark was looking for." So I'm like, oh really? I looked up her stat. She had a double double.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Fine. She sucks. She's terrible. They won by what, like 25? Anyway.
Yeah.
And you want to become a diehard, right? If you're not already, I know we got a lot of new faces in here. Why should you become a diehard? Well, you get, as soon as you sign up, you get some of the sweet merch. I got the Nux sweatshirt on. If you want to do a sweatshirt, you get a $35 credit. Otherwise, you get a t-shirt for free. When you sign up, you get 20% off all of our events, takeovers, all those sort of things, including our Takeover Tuesday against Calgary. I believe those are still available. There's two tickets left. If you want to jump in, die hard or not, go to allchgo.com, jump over to our events page, and scoop up those last two tickets. Hawks Flames, we're in the 100 level. Come see Connor Bedard in the 100 level. It's a great deal. And if you're a diehard, you are going to save 20% on those tickets. So make sure you do that. Get your shirt. Rock your CHGO shirts when you go to the Hawks games. We'd like to see that. Send us pictures when you do that, by the way. We'd like to see that sort of stuff. So become a diehard. Do it today. It's really great stuff. All right, we got to finish up our segments here, and then we're going to go to bed. Braggs, what do we want to do first here? What do we got?
Whatever's clever. I mean, we got Connor's Corner. We got Who's Your Hog? 4-star. Maybe we'll start with Connor's Corner.
Love it. Fire it up.
All right, let's get it.
In this game, Connor Bedard, he did have one assist.
There it is. All right. Didn't know if we had the music or not.
Always present.
There you go.
One assist for Connor Bedard. He was +2, 22-47 of ice time and 6 shots on goal. He was active. By the way, there was a move in the first, or the third rather, where he like drove around the defender.
Encore!
Oh my god, that move was sick, and he almost scored. He drove in with one hand, and then all of a sudden, shoop, got the shot just right over the shoulder. Really good game for him.
We just play the Connor's music until the end of the show.
No, it's too loud.
That's fine. Like,
yeah, it needs to be his goal news. Between me not adding the assist to the graphic and then, of course, spelling Radish wrong on our 4-star.
1:13 in the morning. We'll give you a break.
I produce if I don't mess up at least one or two times. Yeah. If I perfect this thing, then you guys are going to have too high expectations of me. So I got to mess up a few things.
Yeah, I'm sure you spell Caleb Williams
smart. Right.
You got it right.
Yeah. All right. There it is. Connor Bedard. Good game. Like him. Keep him. Let's keep him around. Yeah. Agreed.
Sure. He did great.
Sweet.
Let's He's all right.
Who's your Hawk? Mario won. Congratulations.
I won.
Mario.
Hooray. Is there anything I can wear? Yes. This.
Oh, you got a helmet? You got your own?
I got a thing.
It's a 28th win on the season. Well, your little background it's blurring all the porn you have. It's table to
walls. That's much better. Use your imagination. What's on my head?
You look like Joe Quintella. That
looks so dirty.
Yeah, looks like a poo. Not
it
a
is
poo
not. It Simpsons. Is.
It looks like a poo.
It's this thing. I don't know.
Christmas wreath.
There you go.
Sure.
It's green. I don't know.
Is that like a Brandon's bird nest you found in your closet?
No, this used to be on our front door.
Do you have the world's tiniest home door? Are you a hobbit?
No, it's just a little small thing. But so we have like our front door is like weirdly like the front of it is like metal. It's weird. It's not like a wooden, heavy wooden front door. It's like metal.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we have a glass screen door in front of it. So we had this hanging on our door, and the glass screen door becomes just like a incubator when it's a really sunny day.
Oh yeah.
I opened our front door one day to get like a Amazon package or something, right? And I was like, smells like smoke. This thing was getting cooked on our front door in like December. Like it was because it was just like a sunny day, and it was like cooking this thing. It was so hot. So it's now in our utility closet. I mean, my studio.
Yeah. Take that back to a Hobby Lobby or whatever it is and chuck it at their heads. Yeah, well, all right. And what do we got left? Four star of the game. Let's do that too.
Yes.
One. I don't even know.
I don't know either.
Braggs fall asleep. Braggs.
Drum roll.
Hello.
It's everybody.
Everybody wins.
Who is it?
Kurashev.
Oh, it's for Kurashev. Kurashev, yeah.
He's right there. Yeah, there he is. All right. We're all one. It's 1:15 in the morning, and we're still on a YouTube post-game chat. We're all the four star of the game.
We're all winners tonight.
We all win.
All right,
until the alarm goes off in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. Before we go, what's the how many viewers and how many likes?
Well, we topped around 260 viewers.
Okay.
Now how many likes? I'm not sure. I know that's my job to know.
Yeah.
We had over 100 likes before the show even started.
Well, let's get some more.
I mean, that's,
yeah, that's let's get good. Some more likes before we go to the best
like spike.
Blackhawks crew. I don't know. How many do we have, guys?
John Barker says 195. That's good. Let's get five more. Let's get over
the hump. I said My phone 200. Says 205 likes. We Beautiful. Have over 200.
Yeah, because if you don't update it, it
keep
changes,
spiking so. It. Keep spiking the likes until we say goodnight.
All right. Good night. We're back Monday.
Good night.
2:30. We'll talk to you then. Mailbag.
Are we going to have practice
on Monday?
Yeah. All right.
It'll be practice.
We'll have practice.
So we'll have stuff and things to talk about. We'll get to talk to these dudes. We'll have 52 minutes of video for our 60-minute show.
Sounds great. All right, we'll talk to everybody Monday at 2:30 on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. We love you.
We all silly like the mayor.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.